Well, thank you, Noel and the team. That was great. Absolutely. And this morning I come, you made it. This morning I come and I am just bursting, and not with Christmas put either. I'm bursting with the joy of the Lord. There is nothing that can fill us like Him. You know, you hear people, they get up on the table, and that's wonderful. We had a wonderful day yesterday, and we are privileged, as many others, to come around the table with family. But many came around with friends. But it's nothing more satisfying to the cook than when people feel satisfied with the meal. And they were satisfied and said, "It was a great meal, Mama. It was a great meal. And I'm full." But you see, that's a temporary filling. It goes in and it comes out. But the things of God come in and they grow, and they want to come out, but come out in the expression of our praise and adoration to Him. He's a wonderful God. He's a great and a mighty God. And this morning, there's so many things that are stirring in my heart, so I'm just saying, Lord Jesus, by Your Spirit, bring forth what You desire. Because I think I got about three messages ready and then just left it to God to decide. Because God is so great and He does so many things in us. And you know, over these last weeks we've had many things that we've seen. We're seeing right across our country different things happening with our weather. We have a visitor with us. Welcome to you this morning. Lovely that you could come and share with your family, and that John and Tina had their family around them, which was beautiful. And I forget your name, I'm sorry, that's one of my problems, but Tina's daughter was sharing with me this morning that, pardon? Bernadette, thank you, John, that she just got out because of all of the rain, and had she not left when she did, maybe she wouldn't have got here. And so we're seeing that we're getting floods and we're having snow and we're having all these things, but also over these last weeks we've had Oprah mania, where everybody has been just bursting out of themselves about her. And then now we've got cricket mania. Yes. And so all of those things are okay, but as long as when we're sharing things, whatever we do, not Oprah, but cricket or sport or whatever, it's that we have the greatest joy of Jesus within our hearts, wherever we are, because He's come to fill us. And we had yesterday our wonderful Christmas morning service, and we had our children out the front sharing their presents, the things they got for Christmas. And I'm sure many of you received many gifts, wonderful things. Did anybody receive anything unusual? A coffee machine. You think that's unusual? That sounds good. But probably being a lady, you'd like something personal. Tina? Oh, that's lovely. Wonderful. Coffee machine and a gift to travel. So that's wonderful to see family. A gift bar. Well, that's wonderful. Yeah, it's wonderful. I'm sure they'll come to good use. But we love our presents, don't we? We often think sometimes, oh, I wish that was more personal or whatever. And I know I saw some unusual things yesterday, but lovingly unusual. Just about a week ago, our three youngest grandchildren came to stay with us, and they were playing around, and Ben went into the lounge room and he came out and he said, "Grandma, can I play with them?" And he took me into the lounge room, and it was a lovely gift box that the church gave to Pastor John with all the tools in it when we opened the multipurpose room. And I said, "No, you can't play with those." So Rachel remembered that, and I don't know, she walked high and low. And so yesterday she gave Ben a little box of tools, but they were made out of chocolate, and they were quite big. They were beautiful. And he was all excited, and then they said, "Oh, well, you can eat them." And he thought it'd be nice to eat them, but they melt, he couldn't use them. So that was a bit unusual. But then my husband, whom I asked permission to share, received this little box. And he said, oh, that's lovely. And immediately I'm thinking, oh, there's probably some jewel or something in there. And when he opened it up, it's this very precious little gift. It's a goat. This was from Ross and Roxanne. Now, John has part shares in a couple of cows. I think he's got one and a half left. But and he goes up to help Ross on the farm. But here's this little goat. And when we read it, I just thought it was gorgeous. It's Happy Christmas, and he's bought a goat for a family in Uganda. And so they've given that to him. And so it's from Tear Australia, and they work in partnership with a Christian organisation around the world, and it's inspired by Jesus' call to love our neighbours, that we focus on community development projects that seek to improve the lives of the poorest and most malnourished people. Regardless of background or belief, these things are done. And so these goats are a great source of nutritious meat, milk and cheese. With training, families can breed goats to pay for their children's education and their health care. And I thought that was gorgeous. And so I'd say that's begun a tradition now, and John will probably, for his birthdays and all, get a series of all these little goats lined up on his bookcase. But I thought that was a lovely gift. And so there's many ways that we can give gifts to one another and praise God for his grace and his love. I'll put that there. Don't let me forget it later. But the greatest gift, as Muriel came forth through the Spirit this morning and said that God says we can bring him many things, but the greatest gift that we can give him is our heart. He desires our heart. And we sang that chorus, one of my favourites. Even if my world falls, I will say, I will give you all the glory. The glory out of our heart. And so Jesus says that there's wonderful things that we can do as we praise him, but he wants our hearts, whether we're working in the garden, whether we're sharing with family and friends around a meal, whether we're at the cricket or the football or wherever. And, you know, today is the day after Christmas, people would say. And so our shops have been filled with carolers singing. I was very pleased to go up to Brimbank, and there were three ladies there that were actually singing carols. But I was very sad to hear on 3AW, one of the announcers had said in between the breaks they were going to play contemporary music so as not to offend any of the audience. Isn't that sad? And so, you know, everything in me bursts out and says, this is Australia, and this is the great Southland of the Holy Spirit, and we shouldn't be breaking the desire that we have to share Christ. We're not here to offend people. We're here to save people. We're here to bring people into the fullness of Christ, not into religiosity. But we see that now, today is called Boxing Day. And I've spoken on that before, so I won't bring that now, what Boxing Day means. But today we have shopping mania. And so we have people running out, I couldn't think of anything worse, to the shops. I was hearing everywhere as I was doing my shopping the other day, don't buy it now, it'll be cheaper on Boxing Day. And so people are off there going, having their lunches and whatever, and of course the stores are trusting and hoping they're going to make a great kill today because the sales were a bit down at Christmas. So people are out gathering, and you know, a lot of people, their social day is Sunday, where they go and they go to all of the markets and things like that. But today in particular, it will be shopping mania, where people are flooding the shops to buy gifts and buy things cheaper. Now, if people go to church and then they want to go to the shops, that's up to them. But the thing that I'm bringing this morning is that our mania should be about Jesus. And you see, already people are thinking, oh, well, Christmas is over, it was a lovely day, but what now? So what is now? You see, it's still Christmas. Christmas is Christmas, Christ with us. And he is with us every day. He is with us every day. And just before I go any further, I'll get you to play that PowerPoint, please, Timothy, and then we'll go on. Thank you. I just thought that was lovely, a lovely rendition. That blessed is the child, Christ the Saviour. And you see, as we think about the Christmas and people are thinking what is now and maybe packing up trees, putting presents away, and to so many people it is over. And even as Christians we need to, as our brother Paul brought that word this morning, Christ, the Lord laid on his heart, that we need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our hearts that we hold on to the precious truth that the Holy Spirit comes to bring us, that precious is the Lord. Jesus, he came as a baby, but he's the Saviour. And this morning I want to ask you that even though you know him and you were saved, where are you? Are you at the cradle? Are you at the cross? Or do you wear the crown? And you see, Jesus Christ came as the baby, but he went to the cross, but he now wears the crown. The crown was always his, but he gained it when he said, "It is finished," and he rose to be with his Father eternally. And you see, as he rose, we rise. And you see, on that Christmas morning, and we so easily forget it was only yesterday in our calendar, but we are still in that Christmas. We're still in that Christ Mass. Every time we sit down and we share a meal together, as we give thanks for that meal, as we invite the Lord Jesus to be there with us, we are partaking in his life. We are partaking in that Mass. We are partaking in that relationship with him. And we should never forget that. And that is Christmas. That is what Christmas came to bring us. No matter where we are, what we are doing. And you see, the Lord Jesus came, and as we saw yesterday on that PowerPoint, and again, the three kings, the wise men, came. But before they came, here Jesus was in this lowly manger with Mary and Joseph, and he was born. And Mary was pondering the things in her heart that had been spoken to her. And you see, the Spirit of God speaks into our hearts. Do you ponder those things? Sometimes the word just leaps out at us. Or sometimes a word is given to us through the Spirit of God. Do you ponder those words or do you just forget them? Because you see, God doesn't forget them. They're not a printed word. They're an indelible word on our heart. That is to remain forever, but it is to grow within us that we become all that God has called us to be. So Mary was pondering. And then we saw in the scriptures how that the shepherds were out in the fields. And you see, shepherds were very lowly people. They were poor people. Often they were looked down on. And I often think about shepherds when I think about, and everyone thinks differently, but my husband has done it, and as you know, he comes from Oyen, and we often go up there and up around Mildura, and you get the fruit pickers, and you get people that are out of work or people sometimes that are struggling and they've been in trouble or whatever, and they go and pick fruit. And so they're not people that are highly regarded usually. And so I think of that as the shepherds. And we often think of them as just being, you know, older men, but amongst those shepherds there were young. There were young and old. And you see, God chose to show his glory firstly to them. The star shone and the angel came and spoke to those shepherds as they were watching their flock in the fields, not thinking about anything godly, but just doing their work. And you see, God comes to us in unsuspecting ways. Whatever we're doing, men, you could be using your tools, doing something in the garden, fixing a car, working at work, ladies, washing the dishes. And whatever it is we're doing, changing nappies, whatever. But you see, this great God by his Spirit comes to us. We can be rejoicing and praising God because we've just received a gift or we've just received a sum of money. Or we'd be standing there looking at a bill and thinking, how are we going to pay this? But you see, if this life is within us, he will come to us at those unsuspecting moments. And then we have a choice like the shepherds. The shepherds should have, well, they were afraid, and we would be afraid. And I would imagine they cowered down, but the angel said not to be afraid. And you see, then they were obedient. They got up and they went. And I don't think they went with rejoicing. They probably went in fear and trepidation, wondering what they were going to see, what they were going to find. But see, some of them would have heard the story, because not like today, the scriptures were spoken of through generations. And so they would have heard whether they believed that there was a coming Messiah. So some of them would have gone out of curiosity. But you see, when God comes to you in these unsuspected moments, do you go? Not necessarily with your feet, but with your heart and your spirit. Do you go then to Jesus and think, praise you, God, that I'm doing this mundane task? That it might seem mundane, but you would shed your glory around it and bring joy to it? That you would come, Lord Jesus, and give me the wherewithal, the ability or the grace or whatever I need to be able to pay that bill, to be able to fix this situation, this struggle, this thing? And you see, the shepherds came and they saw. And it's only as we invite him that we will see his glory in that situation. His glory shine, his answer, his completion come. And so they went and they were in awe as they saw. And then what did they do? They went and they told. They went and they told. They proclaimed. Are you proclaiming? Are you proclaiming the power of God, the witness, the testimony of God within your life? It's not only what we speak, it's how we act. As Pastor John spoke this morning in communion, and even as we came around the offering, it's our character. It's how we live our lives. It's how we live our lives. Do you struggle? You know, when you got up from the table yesterday, I'm so full, I've overeaten, my eyes are bigger than my belly, I've got to go and have a sleep. Or did you eat to enjoy and to fulfill your need, not your greed? And praise God that we live in a country that we have so much, when there are so many that we have to be buying little goats and things to help feed a family, to support them. Did your heart praise God that you could see, that you could hear, that you could smell, that you could walk, that you could praise, that you could do whatever it was that you need to do as you sat around that table with friends and family or whoever? And I praise God that I shared it with my family, but I would like to think that if I was there on my own, that I would know that I was not on my own, that I could still share that meal with my Lord and praise him because he is my life. And our families and our friends are precious to us, but Jesus is our life. And it's only because of him that we can love those that we have. And then as we saw later on and yesterday, as Pastor John showed the DVD of the wise men as they came. And you know, that video clip really grabbed me, because there were not a lot of words in it, but the feelings and the emotion that was depicted in that. That when they came, and you see, it says, we read that scripture, it says in Matthew 2, 1 to 13, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, a magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophets have written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I might go and worship him." devious, devious lie. After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen where it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over a place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now here we have it. They saw the star and they went and followed that star because they had heard that this Messiah was to be born. And you know, sometimes I've thought, oh, to be alive at that time, to be there to see. But would we see? That star shone brightly, but not everyone saw. Have you ever thought of that? It was like we see video clips and we sing songs and, you know, in our own imagination we can think of all this glory. Yes, the glory shone around, but the glory shines around us today, but does the world see it? There is glory all around us. Do you see it? Do you hear the angels when you worship, as Noel led us into that great worship this morning? Do you hear the angels? I do. Not every time, but many. Do you enter into praise and worship with that heavenly choir? Are you aware of this heavenly host around you? You see, we don't always give ourselves to where we are, to where God wants us to be. And so the wise men went and they followed the star. And when they got there, they were in awe. And we know that because the scripture said before they did anything, they worshipped. They worshipped. And they were not men used to worshipping. But you see, when you're in the presence of this awesome power, of this God, and one of the wise men said, it was God in the flesh. It was God in the flesh. And you see, for those who still worship the baby in the cradle, that's sad because he is God in flesh, come to be victorious, come to overcome all things. And so here they were, and because they were suspicious earlier on of Herod and his attitude, because he sought to kill Jesus, as the enemy tried many times, as the enemy tries today to kill the power, the joy. He can't kill the Lord because Jesus has risen, but he wants to destroy your joy. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to destroy your entering in. And you see, we allow that because we enter into the distractions of this world. We are not following that light. We are not following and being filled with that joy. We are not submitting and surrendering and worshipping him. And it's wonderful to come here and worship. But what about in our homes? Do you sing and dance and praise God? I do. I can't dance like I used to. But doesn't matter how fumbled I am, God loves my praise because it's our heart that he seeks. And those things are an expression. I love to see Dot when she's up here worshipping. She really expresses by her actions and her bodily movements what she's feeling inside. And you see, that joy can accompany us wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whether we're walking down the street, whatever. And so we see that they came, the wise men, and they gave him gifts. And you see, that was biblical, that they wouldn't have understood fully or known. They brought what they thought they would bring, an earthly king. But these things were so precious in the sight of God because they were symbolic of what Jesus' life would be. Gold as it is today was very valuable in those times. And to find gold, we know that we have to dig underground and find it, and it can be difficult. Bible times because you didn't have the tools that we have today. So it was very, very difficult for them. But God has always been a means of exchange. And so God brought it that they would bring this precious gift that cannot be destroyed. Gold cannot be destroyed. Even if you melt it, it's still gold. It still has its value. And also there was another meaning that this would be helpful to Mary and Joseph, because Mary and Joseph were very poor. And so this was something that would be handy for them as they travelled to Egypt, because they would need food and clothes and shelter. And symbolically, God represents kingship, the king that Christ is for all of us. It also represents the purification process that we go through in our trials as Christians. That is what it is. And in the scripture it says, when I've tried you in Job, you will come forth as pure as gold. And you know where to count these various trials as joy, and to see them as a time that God is refining us and making us pure as gold, that we might serve him. Because one day we will reign with him in glory. And he doesn't want the tarnished. He will bring the purity. And whatever you work on this earth that becomes pure in your life, that is what you take to heaven. The rest will drop off. It's almost like sometimes we feel that we have these earthly riches and we have all these things and we have a beautiful house and a beautiful car. And if you sum it all up, it's like this great big bag of what we see as precious. But you see, when the Lord calls us, the things that are earthly, that are tarnished, will fall out of that bag. And some of us may get to heaven and find we've got a big bag but with very little in it. We need to be working that we are full, that our bag is full of the precious things that God desires of us. And then we have frankincense. Frankincense is made by cutting a tree named Abor. It's found in Persia and India. It's like a sap that is gathered and then dried for 3 months and becomes like a hardened resin or a gum. Frankincense is used as a perfume, but mostly it was burned as the sweet incense during worship. During the Exodus time, Aaron would burn frankincense at the altar as a sweet offering to the Lord. And I can imagine, in a practical sense, and this is just my thinking, that frankincense would have been great to have overcome some of the smells of that place where Jesus lay in a stable, in a manger with cattle, with all of the mess that there would have been. But frankincense represents the divinity of Christ, because, as mentioned, frankincense was burned as an offering. And then we have myrrh. And like frankincense, it's also a sap. And our ladies, over a year ago, we studied the book of Esther and about how Esther and the women that went to present themselves to the king went through months of bathing in myrrh, And it's a bitter thing. It is not sweet. It's from the sap of the tree. And it is bitter to taste. But mostly myrrh was used to embalm the dead because it had a property to preserve. But it also has a property to take away that which is false. It's also used as a perfume or as an ingredient base, as a perfume or an ointment that is also mentioned in Exodus. But it's mainly the practical use for Mary and Joseph would be the medical use. But today myrrh is used in toothpaste, mouthwash and makeup. Lots of different things we found that it's in. But lastly, the most important thing, myrrh represents the bitter cup that Christ had to drink in his suffering for our sins and the healing for us that his death would bring. So we see that there is great meaning in the gifts that the wise men brought. And today, as we think about the wise men as they came, they brought generous gifts. We need to be generous in our gifts. But what can we bring Jesus? You know, sometimes we have a friend and you think, I want to give them a present, and we shop and we look and we think, how do you buy something for someone who has everything? Jesus doesn't want us to shop and buy. He wants us to give him our hearts. And, you know, we come to church and we say, oh, well, yeah, I've done that, I'm doing that, I'm born again and I'm here. But no, what about when you leave here? What's your attitude when you're out in the street and somebody offends you, or a family member does something you don't like? That doesn't mean we can't get upset and we don't may not cry, but do we take that to Jesus? Do we ask him to bathe that? Do we ask him to give us that grace to forgive, to be gracious, to be caring people, to be giving people, to be loving people? So the wise men came and they worshipped and they gave, and then they left, but they were obedient. They were obedient to what God told them. And many times we have plans and ideas of things that we want to do. We think of these great castles we want to build and all these things, and God comes to us and said, no, I want you to leave that. I want you to move on here. Are we willing to obey and trust the Lord? And no, even as it is with Tina's daughter, she got up early and left. And I know our son, who is in Townsville, and it was under flood alert, and Gary was up, I forget where, but up higher. He was up for 2 days doing a job. And he looked at the weather forecast. He was to leave, do a job and leave there about 9 o'clock or something in the morning to come home. But as he prayed that night, it was like the Lord said to him, leave early. And so he got up at 3 o'clock in the morning and he left. And he just got through, and as he got through, the news came that the road was closed. He wouldn't have got home for Christmas. And so when he got home, he rang where he was to go. And they said that didn't matter. There was actually a mistake. They weren't expecting him for another week. You see, so we need to be sensitive to what God says to us. And sometimes those sort of things can be easy. But what about if God says to you, go and say, forgive me. Go and say, I'm sorry. Go and put right what you have done wrong. Go and give back what you have taken. Go and love that person that seems unlovely. Are we prepared to do that? Are we prepared to make amends and to be obedient to the things of God? Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Do we give everything? You see, it's so easy to sing, isn't it? It's so easy to say. It's so easy to move on and say, well, that was Christmas. It's gone. Now we look forward to the new year. Well, what's a new year? It's a change, a date in the calendar. It's another day. What's that going to bring us? You will only take into what we call the new year the old that you were in this year, unless you change. But don't wait for the new year to change. We need to change now, just as God speaks to us. You know, we sing that beautiful carol, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and earth rejoice. We should be entering into that rejoicing. We need to be filled with that joy. Joy to the world. We need to be joyful people, that they will know that we are Christ's followers by our love, by our joy, by the hope, that inexpressible, that indistinguishable hope, that hope that cannot be snuffed out by any manner of thing. It doesn't matter how you're feeling in your flesh, your spirit is alive. Is he not? He does not slumber or sleep. He doesn't grow weary or tired. We stand in his power, in his strength. We all need sleep. We all need food. But the Lord is the one who gives us our deepest sustenance. He is the one who takes us through every trial, every situation. He is the one. And so, as I said at the beginning, we need to be aware of where we are today, whether we still worship at the cradle or do we see God in the flesh. We come to the cross, but we come to the cross to find new life and be saved and to move forward to wear the crown. Jesus now looks down and yes, he was the baby. He was the saviour. He was the one broken and bruised on the cross. But now he reigns and wears the crown of victory. He wants us this Christmas, this Boxing Day, just this day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice in him today, in this moment, in this hour. We know that Jesus came and we celebrate his birthday, but each one of us have a birthday, but we don't celebrate one another's birthday like the day we were born. We celebrate what our life has been and what it is still becoming and who Christ made us to be. And as I've said before, I love it when they put all the candles on my cake. I don't want to be cheated with one candle because I've lived a lot more than 1 year. I want a blaze of candles because that represents life and represents the fire of him who dwells within me. So we need to be praising God that this joy has come to my world, to your world, that this joy will come. And all that this joy is there to do is to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might give him our heart, that we might give him our soul, that we might give him everything in all circumstances. So today as we leave here, I pray that you will go with a swing in your step, with a joy in your heart. And I know that many people face difficult things. We all face those. We all have our aches and pains. We all have our disappointments. Loved ones fail us. And sometimes we can look and we can think, all I've got to bring the Lord is shattered dreams. Well, if we just look at those things, that's all we have. But he said, you will experience many things in this world, but I've come to overcome the world. This baby that came in a cradle, this Saviour that carried the cross, this Jesus that rose has come and he's taken those things with him that you might overcome them today. So let's just stand and praise God today for his grace, for his love, for this blessed child that came to be born in us. And may his praise, his purpose, his power be born in us afresh today. And each day, as we open our eyes and give him thanks and praise and glory, as we guard our hearts, as we lift all we are and all we have to him, that we might come and worship him and then go and proclaim him. We don't need money. We don't need intelligence. We don't need all of these things. We just need a willing heart to come and to praise him and to proclaim him, to proclaim him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings and the Victor. He wears the Victor's crown. Do you wear the Victor's crown this morning? Will you stand in his authority and his power and say, Lord, from this moment, I will drop off the shackles that bind. I will no longer allow things to hinder me, but I will wear the crown of overcoming power in my life, that I might praise you and worship you in freedom and in truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.